You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Well, hello, it's Monday evening. My name is Alex, and this is American Whiner on podcastdetroit.com. How's everybody doing? My guest tonight is Mr. Aaron Golomatis right here in studio. He is also known as Aaron GTV. How you doing, Aaron?
How's it going?
I'm doing good. We just met outside not 15 minutes ago.
I know. I feel like we're fast friends.
Yeah. It was a good introduction. And you were recommended to me through Joe Giza, who was my second guest ever.
The powerful Joe Giza.
Yeah. And we've been trying to get you in here for a you know, since he recommended you, so I'm glad you can make it.
I appreciate that. I appreciate you still trying, you know, because I never feel popular until I try to book something. You're like, oh, you're Mr. Popular. It's like, no, I don't know.
Another wrong with being busy, right?
Yeah, no, busy hopefully translates to lots of money.
Yes, exactly. America,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, America.
But my first question, before we get into the interview proper, is your name. You go by Aaron GTV on social media.
Yes.
Your real name is Aaron Golomatis. Could you tell us how that came about?
Well, it's let's see. So my name, Golomatis, is mm-hmm. I mean, it's not the easiest name in the world to pronounce. But I mean, I think it's safe. You know, it's spelled, it sounds just the way that it spells. But so Aaron G and my dad has always been Tony G. So that would always be like Tony G. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, well, you know, I started a blog TV show back in the days of blog TV. All those people out there who are screaming now, yeah, I remember. I know, I see both of you. But it was a lot of YouTubers back in that time were, you know, making shows. And I was like, oh, man, you know, this is cool. I have a webcam. I can totally do that. So I go out in there and it's like, oh, Aaron G. That's me. TV. It's like television. It's so clever.
I gotcha. Okay.
And then there it went. So this is – and then Aaron GTV is sort of like the sort of deep philosophy of it all was supposed to be that we are all experiencing our own television show.
So
this would be my particular version or perspective of the television show that we are all living. So Aaron GTV. And it never came out that deep. It's like, oh, TV, does that stand for something?
That's what I thought it was. I thought it might be like a phonetic way of spelling your actual last name somehow, you know.
Yeah.
Like it was just an easy, like Louis C.K., you know?
Yeah, and then it came out too, though, where it's like, well, okay, if you haven't guessed by now, I do voiceovers. I do a lot of voiceovers, but I'm also a photographer, and I also do all these different things in the I do multimedia. So it's just, yeah, it's all television.
All right. Well, we're going to ask you about all of that. You call yourself a multimedia professional, and you really, really are. Upon researching you, I was like, Jesus Christ, this guy does like every possible occupation there is, he is involved in. Before we get to that, I always like to start off from the beginning.
Yes.
And so where were you born?
I was born in Detroit, actually. So what is it? I think St. John's. Is that what it is? Watch me be wrong.
Yeah.
It's like, no,
but Detroit
weren't.
City. You were born in Detroit City. Born,
huh? Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Because it's very popular to say that you're from Detroit, but you're actually like, I was born and raised on the streets of Livonia.
Yeah.
That's not quite Detroit. Eastport, man. Yeah. Nobody's saying that. It's But
all right. Well,
Detroit's proper, the actual city. Yes.
Okay. And so did you grow up in Detroit or like tell us about your childhood and all that?
Well,
like,
here's the thing. Like, I've lived my entire life in Detroit,
mm-hmm.
but I never realized I don't actually hang out in Detroit a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And like the downtown area is amazing and it's amazingly photographable. Pretty much as long as you can see the GM building, you're safe.
Right. Right.
As soon as you stray into the darkness, like in just a minute, maybe 3 minutes in any direction, you find yourself in the land of where I live. Mm-hmm. So, not a lot of hanging out there. But I looked at my, what is it? Google has this very non-scary thing where it can show you everywhere that you have been since you have interacted with Google.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's not scary at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just learned about that right now, too.
Yeah. So I'll give you that link. It's something that everyone should check out.
Yeah.
Because I posted a thing on one of the blogs that I do, the A2S toolkit one, which is essentially any problem that I have, I write down how I found the answer and just copy and paste it on there. So it's just a bunch of nonsense. But everywhere that I go, it's like, wow, man, I do a lot of driving. And I always end up back in Detroit. Uh-huh. I'm always ending up there, but just as far all over Michigan, it's like somebody took a glass of water or something, just goes, and that's where you go. That's where you drive everywhere all the time. So always around, but always coming back to Detroit.
Okay. And what kind of a student were you?
I was, this is so funny because I was just hanging out with a bunch of people that went to the same school as I did. And I was very unimpressive.
Really?
Very unimpressive student. I wasn't the greatest anything. Like, I was funny and I was, I was goofy. There you go. And I like to make people laugh, but I was not the funniest kid in the class. And I was tall, but I wasn't the tallest kid. And I was musical, but not – I mean, there were so many people, even in my class, that were so much better in music than I was. So I was just – I was the perfect average forgettable kid. In fact, I was looking at some of the pictures and there were other kids there who looked exactly like me.
Oh, my God.
It's like, oh, wait, I think I knew that guy.
So you didn't even have physical description all to yourself.
No. It's like, well, he's round. He's big and he's round. But there were an awful lot. I looked like a South Park – in real life, I looked just like a bunch of circles.
Oh my God!
But then there was a guy right next to me, had the same glasses as me, and you know, same haircut, and yeah.
Well, so. What did your parents do for a living?
My father was the custodian / janitor of a mega church.
Oh,
so that's like hey. So it was really interesting because it was a very wealthy church,
being the mega church,
but he was not. So I was surrounded by people who were very, you know, upper middle class to upper class, when I myself was not.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew at a very young age, I was very respectful of, my position in life. I was very poor, but surrounded by a great amount of wealth.
Okay. At this point, usually what I do, the structure of the interview is I go through a person's adolescence and then we kind of build into how they got into what they got into.
Oh.
But with you, because you do so much.
I know.
I want to get to as much of it as we can.
Okay.
So I want to ask you about the whole multimedia professional. Just what does that mean to you? Plunge us right into it. We'll start talking about what you do.
Okay. So multimedia, to me, it means everything that sells things to us, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, art used to be pretty much in one direction. If you were a musician, then music is what you poured all of your energy into. That's like you had one instrument or you had one voice and you were known for that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, nowadays you have people that are like that, but it's not the same. Now you can have a beautiful voice, but you also have to be a lot of other things. You also end up having to be. So, well, yeah, so this person is beautiful and this person is a beautiful voice. But if this person is both of those things, then they win.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays – it's a lot as to where before, if you were in a village, it's like, oh, well, this is the singer of our village.
Right.
They're the singer. They are the ones who are defined by this one thing. Well, now our village, because of social media, marketing, the internet and all that wonderful stuff, our village is enormous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the globe all here on this wonderful flat earth.
Right.
I'm kidding. But yes. I mean, or am I kidding? But so now the best of the best also has to be all these other things. Well, mm-hmm. I mean, I was never any of those things. So I just started doing stuff. I started out doing voiceovers, I think was probably one of the first things I did. Well, no, I guess that's not true because I'd always been playing music.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I started hanging out with some people who were doing music too. And it's so funny to see them now. It's like what I thought was so amazing then. And I obviously, because I live my life, it doesn't seem amazing to me. But it's like, wow, I do so much more than that. I feel like I should feel more amazing. I'm just normal, hanging out, ordinary guy. But I do a lot of stuff. But one thing led to another. And I found out in advertising, I end up working a lot in advertising. From music, went to sound effects. I started working with some very popular sound effects collections. And from there, I got music software. Music software brought me back there and then started learning about that. And then that nonlinear editing world, mm-hmm. those of you who are like, I know what nonlinear editing is. Well, that's very much how video ended up going. And then those programs are very similar and they seem to speak a similar language. So I started becoming a video editor and then I started getting really good at it. I was really fast at it because I was really impatient. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my God, give it to Aaron. He's like super fast. So then I started doing that type of stuff and that led to so many other things. And it led to videography because it's like, oh man, these shots are really good and I can do all this stuff with these shots. But man, I wish this shot was a little bit different. And I sort of became a videographer, mm-hmm. which is weird because I would think like it would go to still photography first. But from video, my video started looking pretty cool and I would take stills from my video. And then it's like, oh, well, I should just learn how to take pictures. So then I started doing that too. And then it's like, oh my goodness. So somebody comes in and I try, you know, I'll go into like media departments or I'll go into advertising agencies or something as one thing. And I can speak the language of all of these other things. So it sort of makes me a super media person.
Mm-hmm. And you basically just followed your interest then. That's
yeah.
kind of how it went.
Sincerely, interested.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, there's this beautiful thing over here. It's, oh yeah, let me check about that. Let me see, like, what do you love about that? So, well, what I have to offer from all of these other things, it seems to, this would be my interpretation of that thing. And I think, well, it sounds really arrogant now that I'm saying it, but my thing is there is a new type of creative mind that is coming soon. And I like to see in like children, I speak to in some colleges and I used to work with youth in one of the other mega churches that I ended up working with. But there is a creative mind that is growing in our society now from all of these things. They're not going to be just musicians mm-hmm. and they're not going to be just artists. They're going to be these super creatives that are multimedia professionals.
Okay.
So, yeah.
But it all started with music then from you, though. You said that was kind of where it started. And
yeah.
Why don't you tell us about that? You're in a band called Omni?
Yes. Omni is a project that I started right before I gave up on music. I was going to give up on music.
I was one of those.
Huh? Yeah. It's like, you know what? It's like, that's it. You know, I'm just going to go. I'm just going to put out music that I just unapologetically like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be simple. It's going to be basic. It's going to be boring. I'm going to sound like U2 and Coldplay. And I'm going to sound like all of a sudden. You know what? I don't even care. So I put it out there and I said, I'm going to write all, you know, I was writing all this poetry and nonsense. I'm just going to put them all together and blah. And then I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
And then so we did an album. And then it got picked up by a bunch of different like indie music things, and it gets radio play every once in a while. I'll get a BMI check from radio stations, and oh, hey, we're playing in Vegas. Apparently, there's some thing out there playing, or Spotify. We made a whole 9 cents on Spotify from 9 million downloads. There's something like that. Yeah,
yeah, those are wonderful. I love those those 9 cent checks.
Yeah.
But how long have you been doing Omni then? Like, is that
Omni? I think Omni's been since 2009. But I think we started the project in 2007, and I had a bunch of songs, and it was just it's like, hey, you know what? I had some buddies. Let's get together and just you guys want to do some shows? We're not going to do anything. Mm-hmm. We're not going to do covers. We're just going to basically open for some friends of mine. I had some friends, a friend who eventually passed away, Ron McClellan, was in a band called Storyside B, and they went pretty fun, actually. Mm-hmm. So I jokingly said, well, hey, man, I'm right behind you, bro. We got this thing. And they went pretty good. And then he suffered a heart attack, a completely out of the blue heart attack. And the band kind of went down, and they've all gone their separate ways and been rather successful, actually.
Oh, okay.
So that went from there. And then Dave Hamilton is a local artist who with like superpowers. He's an amazing guitarist and vocalist and everything around the area. It's always odd. You hear it's like, oh, Dave Hamilton. I don't know. Or then somebody knows him and it's like, oh, my goodness. Oh, their brain explodes. But and then Elsie Binks, mm-hmm. Erin Accomando and her projects over at the Sound Shop with Josh Ford and Kevin Wesley Williams. And so I wanted to have a good band. We would already have shows. Mm-hmm. And the album just started doing stuff. But it's been a while now. We are redoing some songs, and then I have another album on the way.
Okay. But
new members and all that jazz.
All right. So. Your voice acting.
Yes.
Tell us about that. How'd you get into that, and how's that going?
Now, that happened early on when I was doing sound effects. So we did, like, I think we did some libraries for Sony. And then sound ideas. Well, we had to do Sony because that's how we got our software. So we got a bunch of stuff. I think their projects or their products, which have changed and ruined and made my life awesome. Vegas, SoundForge, Acid, and all that stuff. Those were all my first editing programs before I got locked into the world of Pro Tools and nonsense. But then I got really good at editing and then sort of just started using my own voice and then editing my own voice and then started doing it more and more, started getting jobs. And that's really what I do. Like I do a lot of stuff, mm-hmm. but my voiceover work pretty much helps me pay for my multimedia habit.
Okay. That's your bread and butter then.
Yeah.
Voiceover
like,
work.
All that stuff. So. That whole in a world and right now more than ever
once upon a time in a faraway land
that sort of thing.
All right. What sort of projects like have you worked on for voiceover stuff? Is there anything that you know our listeners might know or?
Well, there was a time in 2014 that this voice made me an awful lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it? He sounds obviously very much like George Clooney, who is this person right here.
So I ended up doing his voice almost for an entire year. And that was kind of cool. So I think a lot of the stuff for Henry Ford Hospital, there are some odd things in their building,
uh-huh.
and some of the ads for them that I've done, a lot of stuff for iDetroit and Detroit Works. I think I'm the voice now for the voting machines.
The voting machines.
Yeah. That's just like odd things.
Just
so,
in the Metro Detroit area?
No, like, I think in for all of the voting machines.
Oh my God.
I think is my voice. Don't correct me on that. But yeah. And then I'll show up in odd places. Like there was a sound effects library that's offered with Final Cut. And then I'm in there going, have a good day or welcome or good job or something like that. Wait a minute. That is me. Uh-huh. Did I get paid for that? So, but yeah.
All right. You're involved in two different podcasts that one is Questionable Audio with Joe Giza and the other is with Erin Accomando, Motor City Music Society.
Why
don't you tell us about those?
Well, let's see. Let's start with Motor City Music Society because we're getting ready to do our season finale. So if you are – like next Monday, they're teaming up with Tone Wars, which is a really cool thing. A friend of ours, Jared and Carrie, I think, they're really into the Line 6 Helix, And I've always been a fan of Line 6 on my live shows and stuff. I do stuff with them. So they're kind of teaming up, and I think there's going to be a merger, but this will be the season finale. The idea of Motor City Music Society is if you're a musician and you're in the area, there is a community already. And it's – I don't know. It's harder than it was before to make it or make a living as a musician. And the model that I keep pushing in the ideas and stuff that I do is, hey, we're in a community. We should be a community. Like what if I'm wondering if I should go into this. There, I say this a lot, so I'll say it. There are three tiers or three pistons to the engine of success in these type of things. One of them is time. The other is manpower. And the other is – I knew this was going to happen. I was going to forget what the third one is. But let's go with time. If you have enough time, then you can do a lot of things. Mm-hmm. If you have manpower, then you can do a lot of things. Money is
money. The other thing. I was
you
gonna
can't
say
forget
that.
Money. But yeah, those are important. You can sacrifice one of those tiers and the other two will make up for it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that type of model happens in – the venue world, you can have a really good venue. And if you have really good bands, then you can get really good people. And those feed each other. That's the three tiers of that thing. So, well, what if we found the really good bands and that had really good music and a following and match those up with venues that also had followings for their type of thing. And then we fed them with really good music. Wouldn't that be amazing if you could do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The light bulb goes off right there.
Yeah. So it's like being able to say, hey, this is what this band is. This is what they do. They have a following. We should all get those people to each other. There are people out there who are really wanting to hang out on a Friday night. They're all cat videoed out mm-hmm. and they're all YouTubed out and Netflixed out and they want to get out and do something. Where do they go? I said, well, a lot of times it's like, well, this is the band. We're here and maybe the band is terrible, but they're at a really good venue.
Mm-hmm.
And there are all these people. It's like, oh, this is a really cool place, but man, this music is loud and terrible. And so that was the goal behind it all. It's like, hey, let's get all those people to each other.
Okay.
And yeah, I'd say it's – people are resistant at first, I think, because right now we're all kind of in a sinking ship. And what my goal or quest has been is to say, hey, we're all in the sinking ship. If it goes away, we all die.
Right, right.
So it's like, you know, we gotta plant again. Now is the time to, you know, restart.
Okay. We'll definitely get more into that sinking ship thing after the break. I do want to ask you more about that, but we're coming up here on our break, so I do want to get you to talk about questionable audio a little bit. So why don't you tell us about that?
All right, questionable audio is a lot of the places that I go, or a lot of the things that I've done, I've had to do on shoestring budgets, and it's so hard to find out this information, but. I mean, you'd think, well, that sounds ridiculous because the internet and everything like that. Well, what happens if you're slightly more advanced and you have some direct questions that you can't just find out? Like, what is a good mic to buy under $100?
Mm-hmm.
And which ones are fluff, somebody trying to sell you something? Which one is, hey, this is really cool. So we want to do comparisons like that. What is some gear that you can do? What are the things that you can, like, you know, you can use a coat hanger for this. But you can't use a coat hanger for this. Like mm-hmm. you can't cheat on certain types of things. And then to be able to find in every direction in the aspect of audio, in live performances, what are some things that you can get away with? Like can you get with this guitar? I mean, what can you do with this preamp? What can you do with the amazing things that are coming out? What are some old school things that are really hard to beat? And I tend to be more on the digital side and more of the in the computer world. Joe Giza, which is hilarious because he's relatively young.
Yeah.
He is the old school guy.
Yeah, he's the analog guy.
He is super analog and he can tell you if you're looking for a sound and so he will tell you what you need to find. And whether you're out there rummaging through Salvation Armies or old secondhand stores, what you can piece together And he's really into that analog world. So it's perfect. It's like, ask us any questions about audio or about performance or sound, mm-hmm. and in every direction. And we'll teach you how to get it done, with, okay. whether you have the $1 million budget or if you only have $100.
That's cool that for both of the podcasts that you do, you had like a mission statement. Like you had a goal yeah. for the podcast. When I started this, it was just kind of like, I want to have a podcast show. What do I do? Well, I whine a lot. I'll have people on and we'll.
That's
whine
genius
about stuff,
though,
so.
Because I have a lot to whine about.
That's what Joe said after he was on. He was like, "You should have my co-host on here because he's a great whiner."
Because, dude, you have to do this show. He's like, "This is you, man." I was like, "Oh, well, thank you." I think. It's like, yeah, but it's always hilarious.
Well, real quick, tell us when Questionable Audio and Motor City Music Society, like where you can listen to them and when they're on and all that.
All right. Well, if you go Motor City Music Society, best to go on Facebook and then find them there. Their logo is a wheel and it has – I thought it was pink, but apparently it's red. I was wrong. Maybe it's salmon. Mm. And then they do shows usually every other Monday. Obviously, this is their this is their season finale, so they'll be taking a break, bands and other ventures. And then Questionable Audio, we are gathering content right now. So if you go on iTunes, there's a little bumper there. I think it was recorded on a phone right before Joe went on tour.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we're gathering content. We have a bunch of shows in the can, and it'll be video and a bunch of other things. But now is the best time to send us questions and everything, and that'll be every other Monday to once a month Monday. But on and there's a website, questionableaudio.com and questionableaud on Twitter, because, you know, Twitter has that. It's like, you can only have so many characters. Are you sure? Because there are an awful lot of – I mean, there are other people that have characters. No, you only get so many.
That's okay. Our thing. That's our hook, right? Yeah. Yeah. I just started using Twitter, and that's I'm so used to the Facebook post, which I think is like 63,000 characters yeah. is the max. Which who's gonna? Like, that's a novel.
Just go to Questionable yeah. Audio with Aaron GTV, aka Aaron Golomatos and Joe Giza, then from the Wellington Studios at symbol, and then
Alrighty. So we're gonna take a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll find out what Aaron wants to whine about.
Ooh.
And
it's probably gonna change your life.
Yeah. That's what we aim to do here. Yes. So we will be back in between 5 and 10 minutes, and we will talk to you then.
Excellent.
All right, we are back, everybody.
Yeah.
We are going to jump right into this. Aaron and I were just talking over the break. it was such a great discussion. Before we went to break, when we were talking, you had mentioned a sinking ship.
Yes.
And when you said that, I wanted to get more into it, but I didn't ask you because I wanted to finish my list out of your projects. So we'll start off the discussion. I'm going to ask you, what do you want to whine about? But before I do, I want to ask, what is the sinking ship?
Okay, the sinking ship is us, is the live performances, the entertainment industry as a whole. For so long, we've been able to sort of lob a grenade over the wall and then just see what happens, or like launch and leave type thing. Somebody else will care about it. You know, we'll make a mess. We'll make our money, and then somebody else cleans it up. Well, nobody else is cleaning it up. People who are looking for music, the goal isn't now, I'm going to go to this place and listen to a really good band. I'm going to go and, you know, or the goal of the venue isn't, oh man, you know what? We want to find the best bands in the world and feed to our people who, you know, so that there is a place for all these people to experience something amazing every weekend. There are a couple of places out there. Like I my brain is going, oh man, what about the Ark? And what about, you know, there are places out there.
Oh yeah, yeah, the Ark.
But that is not the goal. It's like
that's the exception that proves the rule, essentially. Exactly. Those places.
Yeah. And that's why I really want to support venues like that. And artists that are giving me their tens, mm-hmm. because we're on a sinking ship and everybody thinks that somebody else will bail water. Somebody else will plug that hole as long as I get what I need out of it.
Right, right.
And that's not going to be the case, man. Netflix is more powerful. Streaming is more powerful. People can just stay home. But if they do stay home, then these places will disappear And there won't be anywhere to go for your Friday night dates and all those things. I mean, it'll be a movie or it'll be something else. But man, those venues, and in their prime, when they were made by the idealists, the ones who were like, man, we can have the best venue ever. They're few and far between.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you go to venues where it's like, oh, their sound system, they don't know anything about sound. It's like their cameras and stuff. Well, you know, my phone camera is better than theirs. The lighting, you know, lighting has upgraded and become less expensive. Eh, you know, they don't know anything about that.
They just go through the motions and you know, and collect what they can get out of it, like you said.
So. Bands doing the same thing though. Mm-hmm. Their stuff is bleeding loud and it's all about them, and they don't support the venues that are it's like, oh, well, the venue should do this. They should be the ones that support this. And it's like, well, no, that's a dying attitude. And that's what the sinking ship is.
That is so true, man. And, you know, I haven't played out in, you know, oh gosh, it's been like 6 years now. But I noticed that, and I could never really articulate it. And, yeah. and that is a very good way of putting it. And you're right. It does come down to sort of, you know, everybody staying in their own lane and not wanting to branch out when they need to branch out.
Yeah.
And I do think that you mentioned people not caring. I think that some of that might have something to do with like a sort of sense of powerlessness that we all have nowadays in the face of all this hyper change and the way society is organized right now.
Yeah.
A lot of people just say, well, I don't matter. So even if I were to try, it wouldn't make a difference anyway.
And a lot of that is because the goal has shifted from being the best that we could be to being the most profitable.
Exactly. It's not about the service or the product. It's about the money that you get from either of those things.
Yeah.
So now that we're kind of into that, I'm going to ask you, what do you want to whine about?
Like how we did that, you sort of like shifted into it. Now, I say this type of thing a lot. I don't know how I had difficulty like forming it into a question, but it's essentially summed up like this. We teach our children about the ideal of Santa Claus because we want them to know consequences for their actions.
Mm-hmm.
We want them to feel a sense of reward. You know that something good can happen if you're good. And if something bad happens, well, then that good thing is not going to happen. Nobody teaches their kids about the ideal of Santa Claus so that they will kill each other on Black Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But people die on Black Friday because the ideal of Santa Claus exists. No, not directly. I'm not saying, oh, you know what we should do? We should get rid of Santa Claus then because people are dying. You're missing the point. The point is that ideal has been hacked. And people have hacked it for personal gain. That is what I want to whine about.
Okay.
Because if you look through those lenses and you look around the world that you're living in right now, it's everywhere. Everything has been hacked. Our terminology is formed into like a law. And that law, those laws that we see every day are being lawyered into selling us Oreos.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had another thing. Nothing against Oreos. Oreos, we want to be the official sponsor of everything. I mean, I'm right there with you. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But it's to sell us something. Mm-hmm. Toothpicks. It could be anything. With that ideal, with that hack, we will ruin everything that is great because nobody tells their kids about Santa Claus so that they can create.
Right. Well, that is a perfect way of summing it up. And I never would have thought to do that. So thank you because that is the whole Santa Claus thing and Christmas. Christmas is the whole ideal of Santa Claus, like what you were, as far as I understand the way you were explaining it, is it's supposed to be about the giving, and our society has been hacked to make it about the getting instead. And it's really sad. It's the whole – there's so many thoughts flying through my head right now, and I'm trying to grab one or two of them out.
No, I know what you mean. It's like I'm about to drop a bomb on your show.
Yeah.
It's like this is what it is. It isn't one thing. It is a mindset that has to be changed somehow. But we were doing a lot of things before. Like right now, we have the benefit of living in a world – where our children knew about Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, well, yeah, you know, you do stuff good, you know, he's keeping track, you know. So if you do something bad, You know, it's not going to happen. But if we eliminate Santa Claus, you know, that's not the answer either.
Yeah.
There's something that is there. Things have been hacked all around us to do things. There are secret tricks to getting what selfish things. Like there are a lot of religions. There's a lot of politics. There's a lot of sports. So you look in every direction and it's like, what is real? There are certain things to look for to find the real. And you look for the people who are ridiculously idealistic, maybe. I don't know. But I'm looking for one thing, and this is what that thing is. People who are compelled to do good, but they don't know why. Good is so relative now. It's been so tainted. But people who are compelled to help people, and they don't know why.
Well, maybe they not only that, but they don't expect anything in return, perhaps, is another aspect of that.
And it's hard because, like, if you have the ideal, you want to do good, mm-hmm. and you don't know why, then in the business world, it's like, you know what, man? You should do good for me. And that way, okay, well, you have to just hold off on that because we want that to grow.
Uh-huh.
We want to find those people and put them together. But if you add that element back into it, I believe that our society was created by that mindset.
The altruistic.
It was capitalized on by the other mindset of, well, yeah, I can sell with that.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody starts a venue because they want to go home early.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, can you imagine if there was a venue who wanted the best music and cared so much about their people that they were excited to show what they had in store for them the next day? And then those people, they knew that they had to reserve their time and they would work and save their money to go to this one venue because they knew that something amazing was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a band who was working and studying as hard as they could to be the very best they were because they knew that they had something to give a venue that cared about those people and people who were ready to listen to them. Now maybe that's going to happen, maybe that's not going to happen, but that ideal is what is needed in order for that to grow again,
mm-hmm.
in every direction. People who are with products, they have products where it's like, oh, you know what, this is a really cool product. Well, it's a really cool product because they offered us, you know, $700 every time we say their name. Or it's like, man, I can't help but love Shure microphones.
Mm-hmm.
I can't help it. They can sponsor anybody else in the world. I really like them. I like Parker guitars. I don't know why. I love them. I'm going to use them, whether they endorse me or not. So it's like, but that mindset. And then for somebody else in there, for that to resonate into those companies and say, you know what? And if you start to put that out into the world, you start to get it back. You start to see there's somebody out there. He's an idealist. He's whatever you call that. Try to find them. Try to spend time together and build again.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the only thing that's going to combat that. Because it isn't a good idea to do good and get nothing in return.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a good ideal. And that's the thing that's going to save it all. Start to look at companies. Start to look at things through those glasses. If I were an idealist and I wanted to better mankind, would I be satisfied with the outcome of this?
Uh-huh.
It's like, nobody starts churches so that they can buy $6 million houses. Nobody does that. Nobody starts homeless shelters so that they can get a bunch of money from the government,
right,
and buy boats.
Nobody does that so they can walk into every room. You know, and so every room that they walk into, they're the most important person. You know, it's not about that. Yeah.
So there has to be a secret society. We'll start it right here on this podcast.
Uh-huh.
No, but for $9.99.
Yeah. Well, it's no. I completely understand it, and what you're getting at is people tend to, you know, are products of their environment. So, you know, like you always have the, you know, people who are advocating for the type of capitalism that runs our society right now. They say, well, people are just inherently selfish. They always have been. And we need to harness that. And that's what's going to lead to real prosperity. Yeah. And it's like, you actually look into it and you realize if people were as selfish – now, people are selfish. People do have selfish tendencies, and that's just – you're not going to – there's nothing you can do about that. It's part of the human condition. But if they were really as selfish as these people believe or would like to believe, society never would have been created.
Yeah.
We would still be – swinging through the trees or maybe we wouldn't be around at all.
Yeah.
Because people are products of their environment. And if the environment shifts to more of what you're talking about, then people will be more focused on the ideals. And they wouldn't want to just profit from something just to profit from it because – not because they think it's evil or whatever, but because nobody else is doing that and it's just not something that you do.
Yeah.
That's it's for the good of everybody else.
It started part of that idea started coming to me. A friend of mine who had since passed away, she was into her 70s. I want to say she was 78, 79 or something like that. And I was talking to her and she had felt that she had experienced everything in life and she was ready for her words for Jesus to take her home. That's what she said. And I was like, well, I mean, I understand that, but there are certain things that you're not taking advantage of. I mean, there's certain things that you haven't experienced yet, even now. And it's like, I was like, well, do you have a computer? And when she said no, I was like, oh, okay. Well, computers were invented to make your life easier, to make it more interesting. It's like, what you like to read. It's about I can't see anymore. So I showed her my iPad or something simple like that. It said, these were created for you. They weren't created for my generation, really. They were created at their core to make her life easier so that she could carry all of the books that she owns in this one place and experience it so that right. She could see all of the world even though she can't physically go there. It was created with the benefit of Santa Claus, but now it's become something else. So it's like finding those type of things. Mm-hmm. I had a better direction than that. It wasn't going to end there.
No, I get your point, man. Getting to the it was created for you for older people. That's another observation that I've never made, and you are that is so true because in another 50 years, you know, most people are going to be old. The population is going to be, you know, be half old people and, you know, much less younger people because people aren't having babies like they used to.
Well,
at least not in the first world.
So. I think because we need that type of forward thinking, like there are a lot of people blowing up right now. So, oh, well, you know, this is the reason that we do those things. And this is the reason that those are the things. It's like that's true. And there will always be a time to math everything out. And there will be people who abuse the system again and abuse that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And that's natural. But we're not at that point right now because it's a ship that's sinking. It's like we're going to use pie plates to plug holes mm-hmm. in a ship that is sinking. You're going to use bubble gum. You're going to use anything. That's not the time to be critical. But to find that inspiration, again, the kind that paints church ceilings because they want to be the very best in the world, that's the mindset that we're looking for. At least I think so.
No, I completely agree. And it really comes down to finding people who are more about the quality of the service or the product or the art or whatever it is they do rather than the personal gain that they might or might not get out of it.
Yeah.
And actually, I think you're seeing that more and more, at least on the local level, because so many people – it's so hard to make it to that level where you're profiting anyway. So people are like, well, screw it. I'm going to do it anyway just because I love doing it. And if it doesn't go anywhere, I'm still doing it and I'm living my life the way that I want to live it. And I just, you know, I find a job and so I can pay my bills. And then when I'm not at the job, I pursue this passion that I have. And
that's exactly right.
That actually may lead – it may restart the cycle again. In fact, it probably will because you're going to have more people that have that mindset than the few people at the top who are actually getting the insane benefits out of a system that's tiered like this.
And I guess what I want to say is that if something that I am saying is resonating with somebody who is listening, I'm looking for you. I've created resources to find you, and I've created tools to help you. They're just out there. I don't charge for a lot of stuff that I do. It's made there because when I started out, I needed somebody to help me. I needed somebody who would show me how to draw. I needed somebody who would show me what lenses to use, and somebody who would do it. And I had no money. My father was a janitor for a mega church. I was not impressive in any sense when I was a kid. I needed little pieces of information. So that information is out there. Check out my stuff. If you are one of these people, it's for you.
So feel free to message Aaron.
Yeah.
If you're feeling it right now. Yeah, man. I've really enjoyed this. This has been a great conversation.
I appreciate your existence because I've been wanting to say this for a long time. And I talk about this type of thing a lot. And I know it's something that is inside of us. As human beings, this is what we are meant to be. As creatives, this is what we are meant to create. Mm-hmm. We're not meant to do the other things.
Yeah.
Money came and all that stuff because our passion is what drove us in the beginning. So let us find that passion again.
Well, we're about at wrap up time here, so I'm gonna take us out. But right. Aaron, it has been great talking to you, man. I always say this; it's only an hour long. I wish we could keep going.
That's great.
Because as we were saying all this stuff, I'm like, oh my god, I want to talk. Touch on this.
We got to do it again.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll have to have you on again. But I will be back next Wednesday. My buddy Ed will be joining me for that podcast, and then we'll be back the Monday after that. I'm gonna find a guest for that show. And we will train will keep a rolling, as they say.
Very cool.
So,
put my website out there because I have some gifts
absolutely,
for
you, man. If you have anything that you want to end with, fire away.
All right. So I have some gifts here, like some of the songs that that you might have heard if you're listening to this live. I did a cover of "Beautiful Day" and "Smile." I made those available on my website, aarongtv.com. That's AARON. GTV.com. You see all the craziness that I do. There's links to all the people that I know and all the stuff that I do there. And that's all for you. If you want to reach out to me, it's best to do it there. I'm at AaronGTV on everything that applies to the Instagrams and the Snapchats and all that craziness.
Easy to find you on social
media.
So. All right, man. Well, I can't think of a better way to end it. So thanks so much, man. We will, like I said, we will have you on again.
All right. Thank you much. You guys are awesome.